is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, from Politically Incorrect, and most recently from Tomcats, which is coming out this Friday, Bill Maher is here.
Thank you, Adam.
And it's about time. And let me kiss Bill Maher's ass and insult him at the same time, if I may, to get the show started. Bill has been kind enough to have us on Politically Incorrect quite a few times between the two of us, maybe 15 or 20 times if you combined our scheduled appearances. Right. And this is a town where people love to talk about how bad other people are. Like, I work with a bunch of writers and comedians and performers, and they love to bag on guys like Leno, and they love to bag on these late night guys, especially. They love to bag on they're sort of mediocre with Conan, but Kilbourne they love to bag on. And the thing about, and they like those guys, they just like to bag on them. I mean, personally, I'm sure, but they like to bag on their performances. Bill Maher, everybody respects, and I don't think that many people even like him. They just respect him.
That's exactly right.
And you know you're good when people want to say bad things about you and still have to admit you do a good job and that you're very good.
Thank you. I do take that as a compliment. No, but it is true. You're right. And I don't care, you know. I mean, there was a certain point in my life where I cared. And you know, I don't, because I know why people don't like me. It's because I don't lie.
Yeah. Well,
if you don't lie, you will make a lot of enemies.
No, I don't even think they dislike you, but they don't want to like you.
No, they dislike me.
Okay, they dislike, hate Bill's effing guts. But every person I've ever spoken to, no, even the late night snobs, even the other comedians and the other writers, they're like, yeah, he does a good job on that show. You can tell they hate to say it, but they can't say anything else.
If I may return the compliment, it's not kindness that has us having you guys on as much as we can. It's because, you know, good guests are always at a premium, especially when you do five shows a week, four guests a night. There's never enough good guests, so, you know, we'd have you guys on, like, every week if we could.
That's very kind.
But I see that you have this other gig.
This little radio thing we do.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about Bill's voice ringing in my head while I was in the shower earlier tonight, and he said to me last time I saw him, he was like, what do you do that damn radio show for? That's his prime hours. I mean, for Bill,
that's hunting time.
That's right.
Yeah. Checking the traps, as my friend Rich Scheidner used to say. Checking the traps, are you?
That's right. It is hunting time for Bill between 10 and midnight every weeknight.
Every single
weeknight, he is out boring. It is absolutely true.
I am not. I'm out every other weeknight doing that. No.
Then he said, why, you know, what the hell are you doing? And he asks us that again tonight. And I think we're probably here for the same reason that you're at PI, which is you're good at it. People appreciate it. And it's in a day and age where you really can't do that much, especially on TV, but on radio too. We both have jobs that offer you about as much freedom as you're going to find in either medium.
Right. Absolutely. I was just asking because it just seems like the hours, five nights a week, to be here from 10 to 12 would be so
grueling.
Mm.
Well, Drew loves the kids and I love making fun of the kids, so
yeah,
that's
people.
Really what
I do too.
Really why we're here. And I mean, you get approached a lot to do radio and I'm guessing sitcoms and things like that. Where do you stand on all that stuff?
Radio more. I mean, I had a whole sitcom life in the 80s, you know.
Really?
Yeah. I came out here in 83 as a freshly scrubbed young comedian doing the Tonight Show every few months. And, you know, and the Gargoyles were always in that era to get on a sitcom. And I did. I got on a show called Sarah in 1985 with Gina Davis.
Wow.
With Sarah, Alfre Woodard, Brunson Pinchot and myself played lawyers in San Francisco, and she was kind of a Mary Tyler Moore, you know, of the 80s. And I was the, remember being so excited because they said, you know, next week when it premiered, there was going to be a full-page ad in TV Guide. And sure enough, I get the TV Guide, and there's the full-page ad, and under my picture, it says, "The Office Creep."
Oh, my God.
So I played the, you know, I played the mantra. I was doing Ted Knight is what I was doing. I was doing
Ted,
yes, exactly. I was stupid and macho, and Bronson was gay, and Alfrey was black, and Gina was the lead. It was supposed to last forever, and it went off in 13 weeks. Then I did, a couple of years later, I did a show on Showtime, a sitcom called Hard Knocks. Very few people remember that one.
Ooh.
Very few people had Showtime back in 87, yeah. 88, whatever it was. And we were detectives, mismatched detectives, if you can believe it.
Oh, you mean mismatched. You guys weren't exactly the same?
Exactly.
Coffee and donuts.
Right. He was kind of a country...
That's my idea. It's called coffee and donuts. It's
right, I love that. Yeah.
Johnny Donetti. Donuts is a tough streetwise Chicago cop. Guess what rules he plays by, Drew?
His own rules.
His own rules.
Oh, he's a maverick.
And Charles Coffey III is a very uptight guy, wears a bow tie.
Exactly.
He's vegan.
Right.
And they get in that hole, you know what's in that hot
dog.
Well,
that was it. I was like a hippie, an ex-hippie. I had long hair, and my partner was kind of country bumpkin type. He was dumb, and I was a wise ass, and we fought crime. It was not the best planned show because it was on, again, 13 weeks. But even after it was on for like 10, people would come up to me and say, you know, that show's kind of funny, but what do you guys do? You know, they didn't get that they were detectives because we didn't like have an office. We hung out at a bar, and we just seemed to be floating through life.
How did PI happen? Was that your idea?
Yeah, that was finally when I got fed up with the sitcom. Because then I did another one called Charlie Hoover.
Wow,
Sam Kinison and Tim Matheson. Oh. Sam was a little devil on Tim's shoulder.
Yeah, that one I remember.
Yeah, I remember Sam passed out in the makeup chair. Many a day. Talk about a drug problem there, Doc. You could have used you a little to intervene there.
Wow.
And then I did Schmuck and Son. I played Joe Schmuckalovitz. No, I'm kidding about that one.
It sounded like the best idea so far.
Yeah, right. And bringing up Chunky. Do you remember that? Bringing up Chunky, the one I did... Early 90s?
No, I missed that
one. No,
no. So now, then you create PI. I know I'm trimming a lot of fat
here.
Yeah,
please.
It goes to Comedy Central, right?
For a long time.
5 years on Comedy?
Eight years, wasn't it?
It was on Comedy Central 4, and now has been on ABC 4. But what about the people having trouble masturbating?
Right,
you know, we're talking,
right,
I'm
we're
just asking, you know, we're talking about me, and here's some guy saying, you know what? There's like green pus coming out. What should I do?
Well, let's find
Funny
out.
Funny you should ask.
Jason, you're 13.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Mm. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
You're like a god.
Thank you.
Dude, I don't even... I can't believe I'm talking to you.
That's why Adam does this show.
Right.
This 13-year-old kid's telling me he's a god.
I can get as much 13-year-old male tail as I can shake a stick at via this show.
You know,
can't find that at any bar at 11 o'clock
right,
at night.
Jason.
You got to go into their home, buddy.
Jason, what's going on?
Via the radio.
Jason.
Yeah?
What's up? You got a question?
Yeah.
All right, you can ask it now.
Okay, the question is hold on one second.
All right, Drew, don't start with any prepubescent boys, would you please? It's always a nightmare.
That's all we've got up there is 15, 16-year-old like males.
What happened there?
Here's dad busted him. Let's stop talking. Don't go to guys right at the beginning, Drew. Don't we go through this every night? Scream something about
too.
An ass. Well, please. Francis?
Yeah.
You'd argue with him too, Bill. Believe me, if you had to work with him. Francis, you're 15.
What's up, Great Spudini? What's up, Drew? What's up, Bill?
Hey. Great. How you doing?
Pretty good. My sister's also on the line when she found out that I was talking to you guys that she demanded to talk to Bill Maher.
Your sister?
Hello.
There she is.
Hi.
What's your name?
Bridget.
Bridget.
How old are you, Bridget?
You are a god, not Adam. I'm
sorry. Oh, thank you, Bridget. I appreciate that.
Thanks for the clarification. For a minute there, I thought I was a god, but no.
I'm sorry. Well, he uses his opinions, but he also uses some information besides.
That's right. Thank you for noticing that.
Stuff his producers feed him through an IFB.
That's so not true. Bridget, don't let them burst your bubble. He's a mean old man, and he's bitter because he's locked up here every night from 10 to 12.
That's true, and I'm not out whoring. Yeah. Well, all right, Fred, what do you want?
All right, well, it's about you're doing shows with, at, like, Columbine. You're doing shows coming up. I saw on the last night on the after-party Oscar thing.
Was that Bill?
No, actually, we're going to do a week with teenagers. You're absolutely right. Boy, these kids are really on the ball.
Yeah.
They know more about it than I do.
Wow.
But we're not going to Columbine, no, but we're going to have, I think, maybe a couple of kids from there. We're doing a whole week. I think it is the week after this. I think it's the very next week where we're going to have each night, I guess we'll have two or three teenagers. We're going to talk about different topics like bullying at the schools and one night sex and one night drugs and see if we can get to the bottom of what's wrong with these kids. And of course, there's nothing wrong that going to see Tomcats won't really help, is what I have to say. Is you kids.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. It's shameless.
I'm kidding.
Bridget, you still
I
like
don't
Bill?
Care.
Yeah, but we had a bomb threat at our school.
Yeah.
Oh.
We got off a day of school because some freshman kid
Who I know.
Well, anyways, he decided he would pull a bomb scare, and he left a note at, like, the local athletic club, and he signed a name to it, and they had a little video camera, and it showed exactly who it was. So now we have to make up this day at the end of the school, like,
right,
the day of graduation.
Oh, really?
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
It's well, always, isn't it always that situation of the, you know, the whole class has to stay after because of one, and that's so true in life, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I always remember that from sports. It'd be like, all right, set, hut, and then they'd go, Higginstaller jumped off sides. You can all do a lap,
yeah.
And while you're doing the lap, you can thank Higginstaller.
Yeah.
And that was what I said. I don't know what kind of strategy that was for a team to single out the fat kid and have all 30 of us try to beat on him at once.
Right.
There seemed to be more of that going around back then than
brilliantly
now.
Captured in Varsity Blues. anyway.
But still, this whole thing has sort of gotten out of control with the copycat phenomenon. And it's kind of, there are a lot of messed up kids, there are a lot of angry kids, a lot of kids that try to commit suicide, do all sorts of aggressive act. Some of these kids would have been turning this stuff on themselves had they not now sort of discovered this option. And unfortunately, I think the only way to get it stopped is to deal with it as sort of terrorist activity. I mean, they really have to clamp down hard.
They do, but they also overreact with that zero tolerance policy. Second graders who are doing nothing more than drawing a picture of a gun get suspended. Mm. Now, that is silly. I've been screaming about the bullying thing because I don't know why people don't notice. They say, what's the pattern? Well, the pattern is the kid who does it is always the kid who gets picked on. He's always that frail kid, and you could just tell he's the one. They steal his lunch money, and they knock him to the ground. Whatever they do, it's that kid. It's that kid. Yeah. And if teachers would stop acting like prison guards who just look the other way and let the inmates fight it out amongst themselves, if they would just exert a little moral authority there and make it known that you're not allowed to do that to kids, maybe that kid wouldn't be in that state.
We even wonder in this show what it is about humans that cause them to go after the weakest at their most needy time. And we are just awful.
Especially kids.
That's what I'm saying. Young people, they just attack the weak, the sort of vulnerable.
Right. As adults, we have it. It just comes out when we're drunk.
Right.
Hey, fat ass!
Yes.
I am you, buddy. You have another sandwich. Yeah. Have fun getting late, huh, Lardo?
But you're absolutely right. I've argued this point on the show, and, you know, I have a bad reputation as someone who hates children. I certainly don't hate children. I like kids. I just don't want any of my own. And little, you know, when they're like infants, I have no use for somebody I can't actually speak with. But I've always maintained that I'm a better human being as an adult than I was as a child.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't come out with a sense of morality. That has to be instilled in you.
It has to be developed.
Kids are feral. Remember, what was the book with the kids on the island? Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies. No, absolutely. There are six stages of moral development. There's no doubt about it. And most people only get through about three these days.
Really? What are they?
It's a guy named Kohlberg developed this theory, and it shows that with cognitive and emotional development, there's a moral development, too. It ends up, the sixth stage is basically Aristotelian. You know, there's principles.
Sure.
You operate by principles regardless of the cultural or social milieu. before that is, I've got
well,
it in my car.
It's probably maybe. Like recognition, and then
it sort of goes to what's fair,
right.
And then it goes sort of golden rule, which
right.
is you would do unto others,
exactly.
And then it becomes sort of abiding by laws and
right.
sort of an understanding of being part of a citizen, and then it becomes sort of moral imperatives, and very few people ever think about principles outside of just sort of getting by and doing what's right for them and what's golden rule type right and wrong.
Well, and think about, I got two things to say, and we'll go back to the phones. Think about the message that's sent through the media, which is, it's your world. You
exactly.
Take it. Number two ain't going to work. This world is you, man. It's all about you. You're the man. You take what you can get, and if someone gets in your way, you push them out of the way. There's way too much entitlement going on.
I'm always screaming on my show about the fact that people do not have a sense of what a hero is or what selflessness is. You know, that race car driver when he...
Yeah.
No, I'm nothing against this
Dale
guy.
Dale
but,
Earnhardt, yeah.
But that Congress passed a resolution saying he was a role model. And I'm like, why is he a role model? Why is he a hero? What did he do? Why is Mark McGuire a hero? He does something out of his own self-interest. A hero has to me, include some sense of selflessness. Something
right.
you're doing for a greater good than
yeah.
just feathering your own nest. That's not heroic. Mm. People are like, I admire him so much. You know, he works out all the time. But what is admirable about that? He's doing it for himself. He wants to look good. Fine.
Well,
it's not wrong, but it's not heroic.
No.
It's not to be admired.
Yeah. Hey, he wants $20 million a year, too. I mean,
right.
Those are the fruits of him working out. You're damn right I'd get to the gym if I was Mark McGuire or gay. Because we know the gays love that there's new dudes there.
No, they get fruits also.
Yeah, the other thing I think should be eliminated from schools is the drill team. People marching around, throwing guns up in the air, twirling those
right.
wooden guns. Very dangerous message for the kids.
Exactly.
I was saying that earlier in the week. Erica?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, so I got suspended for sexual harassment. And I just want you guys to explain to me why this is sexual harassment.
What'd you do?
Okay. So I used to know this girl, right? And, she masturbated with a hot dog, okay?
Whoa. You used to know this girl?
Well, I know this girl.
And you know for a fact that you saw her masturbate with a hot dog?
Oh, I know. She told me herself. She told me that she did.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, we used to be friends, you know? And then, she totally, started talking crap about me and, my friends and all that stuff.
What did she say exactly?
She just, totally, calling us sluts and, all that stuff.
Okay.
And then so, she totally, pushed my buttons, and I went home one day, and I, wrote a flyer about her, calling her hot dog whore and stuff like that. And, I made 100 copies, and I passed them around school. And so, we went, before even first period started, the day I passed out those flyers, I, got called into the office. And, we, had a talk with the principal and everything. And then, 3 weeks later, I get suspended for sexual harassment.
Now, we had a talk? I mean, you and the other girl?
Yeah, me, the other girl, and the principal.
So at that point, they were holding you both sort of equally responsible for what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, how did they know you were the author of the hot dog whore manifesto?
I guess, she figured, it was me. And then, when I went in there, I admitted to it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Chicks are horrible liars, by the way. You could crack them so easily.
Yeah.
Do you have a history of other sorts of behavioral problems at school?
No, not
huh?
at all.
Huh?
No, not at all.
Well,
All right. So then they suspended you 3 weeks later because of this incident?
Yeah, and they say it's sexual harassment.
It is amazing the way everything nowadays has to be fit under some categorization, some societal rubric. Sexual harassment.
You see, Rupert.
As if this, I mean, whatever it is, it's not really sexual harassment. I mean, that used to have a specific meaning, and it should have a specific meaning. Sexual harassment in the workplace is also if you leave your penthouse lying on your desk.
Right.
Well, that's not really sexual harassment either. I mean, it might be rude.
No, what's going on is there's, we're so litigious, everyone's scared S-less, so nobody takes any chances, and all the fun is now taken out of society. Thank you.
You know, if you work for a big corporation, I don't know if you work for ABC, do they make
yes.
you sit down and watch those?
Yes.
You had to watch
absolutely.
The tapes for Infinity, for
let me,
CBS.
Let me tell you, I did not go
Dive
for that. Drew?
You shouldn't admit that. Here.
I don't give
you'll be,
kiss
you'll be,
my ass.
You'll be sitting down watching those tapes.
Drew, what happened when they asked me to go watch a sexual harassment
I know I
tape.
Sat down and watched
What did I do?
Really? You wouldn't go?
You went home and jacked off and napped.
That's right. Well, wait a minute. But, that could have been coincidence.
But, you know, I am, that is, I must say, something I'm very sympathetic to is sexual harassment in the workplace. I know, like every guy knows, that women
as happens
go through
yeah.
a hell of a lot. And it's better than it used to be. But that is one, I mean, I will call women, as you know, like on anything I think that they're BSing about in any way or trying to have it both ways. But there they have a legitimate gripe. I mean, for years, men have gotten away in the office with doing pretty much anything they want. And it's harder for a woman to advance. I know, because I tried Sheila is my producer now. But, I mean, it was a hard road to hoe to get her to that job. I mean, harder than it would have been if she's a man. I mean, it's just. That is institutionalized.
Right.
That it is harder for a woman.
But I think it detracts from those cases that are legitimate by calling everything
exactly.
sexual harassment. And I feel the same about rape, calling everything rape. You know, your
right.
husband of 10 years rolled over on you when he was drunk, and that's rape. What about the chick who was held up at knife point at the park? Is it the same?
Exactly.
I don't like that.
Right. There should be perhaps, you know, just there's levels of murder. I mean, the date rape, is that the same? I mean, it's a awful crime, but did you ever see that John Stossel report from Brown University? It's just chilling what goes on campuses, but at Brown University, rape was defined as having sex with a woman who was drunk.
Right. Oh, that's a law.
California law. It's a law in California.
That if you have sex with a woman who's drunk, that's considered rape?
And as you know, yes, it's unlawful sexual intercourse. And you know the
I've got to go turn myself in, excuse me.
Well, Adam, listen, Adam, all of his foreplay is gone.
Every single
encounter
I've ever had is
now rape.
Yes.
And our definition of intoxication is going down with drunk driving issues. So it's pretty wild.
It's all rape. Hey, Erica?
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with Oscar Mayer.
What's the big deal about suspension? You're not going anywhere but junior college anyway, right?
No, but, you know, if I may interject here, and why not? You invited me onto the show. So I would say, you know, we were talking about this last night at the Oscars because we were doing the Aaron Brockovich thing, which is, you know, Aaron Brockovich comes into that office, and what happens to her? She's hated on by the other women. And I was saying that this is very typical. If a good-looking woman in a sexy outfit walks into the office, the other women right away are going to start hating on her.
Right.
Men are not like that. You know, another guy walks in, he's a good-looking guy, so what, whatever. We don't immediately hate.
No, but guys are like, let's hang out with him, maybe we can get some seconds.
Right, exactly. But I would say, you know, I mean, it's a shame to see it start so young, women hating on each other. It's boring for us men, believe me, because it affects us too.
Was she punished also?
No, she wasn't.
Okay. Eric, I just suspect some pieces of the story are missing, that whatever it was caused them to adjudicate the way they did. And you know, you appeal it if you want to appeal it. I doubt that they really meant sexual harassment. They probably meant sort of sexual impropriety or being lewd or misconduct, these sorts of things. And indeed, 100, you know, an explicit document about a person's sexual behavior is pretty out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Couple days suspension, no big deal. Happens to the best of us. Not you, though, Drew.
No.
Drew, what high school did you go to again, just to clear it up for Bill? The Little Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs? There we go.
He went to Cornell now. Relax.
But Friday was casual day. They only had to wear one ascot. All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Bill Maher's here, and he's talking about Tomcats and, of course, Politically Incorrect, and we'll be back after this.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And I couldn't be happier.
Fantastic. 100.5.
The Zone. Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Bill Maher is our guest tonight. Bill can be seen on the big screen coming up this Friday on Tomcats, and that's going to be everywhere now. Also, of course, Politically Incorrect.
They are plugging the hell out of it.
Yeah. I passed probably 20 billboards on the way here.
I mean, I'm not in this a lot. I'm the bad guy. It took me one day of work, and then they asked me if I would you know, plugged. I said, that's not my movie. I said, yeah, they gave me a list of things. I said, I'll do Dr. Drew and Adam show. But it's not my movie. Nice. It's a bunch of, yeah, this is the one thing I'm going to do. It's a bunch of, you know, 20-something.
It looked like
hot,
fun.
Young
it looks like fun.
Actors in a funny romp, I hope.
It's the Porky's of our generation. Hey, and by the way, if you ever go back, you know, you think of Porky's as this sort of, you know, lighthearted sexual coming-of-age romp. If you watch that movie now, there's issues with abusive fathers and racism. There's this one Jewish kid, and it's like, hey, Jew boy.
Yeah.
And there's this drunken dad who beats on his kid. And even, it's almost a scary movie.
Tom Katz is better than Porky's.
Oh, good.
It is. It really is. Well, it's pretty funny.
Then I'm there.
Yeah.
Scott?
Hey, how you going?
You're 24. What's up?
Yeah, I'm 24. I'm in the medical profession, and basically I have a patient that I basically have frequently because she's has COPD and stuff like that, and her granddaughter is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for like 2 months. Like, you know, we go there all the time, take the grandmother to the hospital, and it's like flirting with the granddaughter. It's like, it's crazy. It's like...
Wait. First of all, what do you do?
I'm an EMT.
EMT.
Yeah, emergency medical technician.
So grandma's going in and out of the hospital.
How old is the daughter? The granddaughter?
I think she's like 20.
Oh.
She's definitely over 8. She's not Jilby, you know what I mean?
So as far as the granddaughter's concerned, he's a fireman. He come in, you know, saves grandma.
He's got a patch on his sleeve, and he rolls in the front door.
So what's the problem?
I don't know if it's morally... I want to continue, like, you know, actually, you know...
What's your policy there?
How old are you?
I'm 24.
How old?
24.
24.
All right.
Well, what's your policy?
Have fun.
Well,
I looked through the books like that. My partner is like giving me so much hell for this, but you know, I'm the book.
Because you don't have she's not the patient, and it would, you know, you should, if you do make some sort of connection with her, you should ask to be taken off the grandma's case in some fashion. I mean, you really need to be sort of diverted or have somebody else cover that one.
I mean, how do I do that?
I don't know. That's your job. But
wait a minute. Why? What's the big deal?
Because you really, when you're doing medical care, you can't have what's called a dual relationship. You lose your objectivity. You don't do your job right.
Exactly.
At the very minimum.
Really?
Like, yeah,
but what about a little incentive? You know what I mean? You want to impress a chick? Keep granny alive.
Yeah, but he can go do that on his time. It's like trying to take care of your kids.
Listen,
I've
Drew talks all the time about not mixing business with pleasure, not dating in the workplace and that kind of stuff. And I tell him work is basically school for adults. I mean,
absolutely.
If you can date chicks in your high school, you certainly should be able to date chicks
I've said people in authority,
right?
People in authority in work shouldn't take advantage of the people that
That's
manage.
True.
And
Excellent.
They do that. All the people like presidents shouldn't do that kind of crap.
No, they shouldn't.
Right,
but that's not a good example.
What's that?
I wonder, like, is it a moral thing?
I think the issue is boundaries and how you conduct the relationship with the grandma.
How much contact do you have with grandma as an EMT?
I mean...
Seriously, she's like a frequent flyer. We get her at least twice a week.
Oh, boy.
She's going to be dead in 15 minutes anyway.
You got to be careful in life, but come on. Isn't this being too careful?
Yes. Get with the granddaughter.
Yeah.
And the grandma will kick off soon. You'll be there to pick up the pieces, and there you go.
But the connection's got to be made off work.
Off work.
Well, yeah.
That's right.
Don't bang her on the gurney.
No. Get her in a lunch break in the cafeteria. Is that what you're talking about, Drew?
Enjoy.
Every kid should be so conscientious, right?
Yeah, that's nice.
Question?
No, that's nice that he's thinking it through.
Nicole?
Hi, guys.
You're 24?
Hey.
What's up?
I have a question, Dr. Drew.
All right.
Oh, by the way, Adam, I saw your show for the first time, and I absolutely love The Wheel of Destiny.
Oh, yes, the man show.
I was waiting for the penis on the face, though. I was waiting for that, but unfortunately...
Well, the Wheel of Destiny is true. You know, as you know, I've urinated on people's wallets in the Wheel of Destiny, and we've had all kinds of good times.
Yeah, one of my customers is doing your show. He was telling me about the wood chipper.
Oh, yeah. Don't give too much away.
I'm going to zip it on that one.
We got a brand new Wheel of Destiny coming up here.
Looking forward to it. Whatever.
All right there, Nicole.
I look at what Adam's the king.
My question is about ecstasy.
If I were king.
Yes.
Okay, I've done it once.
Yeah.
And I deeply regret it because it really screwed me up when I came down from it.
Yeah.
What are the long-term effects from it? Because I have a friend that does it on a regular basis.
Yeah. There's a guy named Alan Leshner at the National Institute of Drug Abuse, National Institute of Mental Health, that has a ton of PET scans up on the website for the NIDA. And you can show her the dark spots from brain cell death. in the
mood. Because she takes that stuff from GNC that kind of replenishes.
No, it doesn't replace anything because these cells are dead.
Okay.
And she will need to be on antidepressants her whole life probably because that's what happens to people that have significant amounts of brain cell loss in that area.
Well, how much of it is she doing?
I don't know. From like, I went to a party about 3 weeks ago. She did a whole bunch of it there, and the guy she was with, I mean, they came down probably 3-4 days later.
Yeah, she is going to start having panic attacks. You're going to start seeing her have a lot of anxiety and eventually severely depressed.
Because I know when I came down from it the first time, I mean, I'd never done even pot, anything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, totally want to slash my wrist. All right. I don't know where it came from.
All right. Now, well, how you felt.
You're a lightweight. I mean,
I understand. Yeah, but how
let's
Nicole,
not scare all us heavyweights
how
away
Nicole
from drugs.
Felt the day after is how people that use a lot of this drug start right. feeling the rest
okay.
of their life.
But see, the thing is, when I took it, I came, like, I was all happy and giddy and everything.
I know. It must be wonderful. It must be wonderful. I wish we lived in a world where ecstasy didn't hurt you. I'd take it. I wish right. we lived in a world where threesomes were good for you. We'd do that. My wife and I would do that.
I mean,
it doesn't work.
You're right on both counts.
It was because I took a half first time, lasted 4 hours, and I took about half.
And you know, there's nobody more liberal about drugs than myself. I was rooting like mad for traffic last night because I'm rooting for anything that will stop this insane drug war and the way we prosecute it, and will hopefully turn this country around so that we treat drug abuse as a medical problem and not a criminal problem. But I agree. I mean, drugs like ecstasy are bad drugs because you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. It turns out that doesn't matter. The more pure the ecstasy, the more damaging.
Well, no, I'm just saying, when you get a drug from a dealer, you have no idea what's in it. I mean, Timothy Leary told me, years ago, he said, there's not been acid around for 20 years. He said, what really is acid, what we did in the 60s, which, you know, at one point was legal and also was something that they used, and they still want to use again now, real acid for psychotherapy.
No.
He said they
don't want to use it.
Oh, yeah.
No.
It was in the New York Times the other day. There are people who want, and
they also use ecstasy, but believe me, the people that know about these drugs, they are so damaging. They really are.
I don't know about that. I don't know if pure lysergic, whatever that thing is, was so damaging. What I think is damaging and what is dangerous is that when you buy drugs from, some guy who says, here's ecstasy, he doesn't know what's in it. It's just a pill. It could be, it's a bunch of strychnine and speed and crap and God knows what else. And, you know, what a thing to do, to put into your body something that you have no idea what it is, sold to you by someone who's obviously unscrupulous, because drug dealers are.
Well, either way, whether it's pure or cut with a baby laxative, either way, it's doing some damage. And I guess that's the point. And I agree, drugs should be legalized all the way around across the board. But I don't like people that, because they want to make an argument for legalization, say that pot's good for you and, you know, acid doesn't hurt you. And, you know, there's that camp that basically says,
in that camp.
Smoke as much weed as you want. Well, here's the thing.
I'm in the camp. Number one is that we have to stop going drugs as if they're all the same. Would you do that with prescription drugs? Would you put, you know, one very heavy
chemotherapy?
I agree completely.
I mean, marijuana. Marijuana is a very different drug. It's barely a drug. It's a leaf. It's a flower. It grows in the ground. It's part of nature. That's real different than something some evil guy is making in a lab and cutting and pasting.
Well,
and
I mean, you can take a nibble of Amanita phyllodes and you'll drop over dead. That's nitrogen. It's a nice, beautiful little mushroom. I mean, nature creates all kinds of wonderful things.
No, Bill. Here's what I want to say. But don't get me wrong. I love the weed myself. As a matter of fact, I'm looking to score from Bill after the show. One perk of this gig is you get to head out to the parking lot with Be Real and get some weed from his car for the ride home. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Be Real. And find out that Bobo just sucked it all down.
You want some good weed? Oh. Ask Be Real from Cypress.
That man show you did with Snoop?
Yeah.
I remember he's done my show, and boy, that hallway smells pretty good when he's there. But I was going to say, what must that have been like doing that show with Snoop? That must have been fun.
I don't remember. We were so baked.
Really? I mean,
baked.
It's like you walk into his house and he's got the bowl right there, right? With the
Snoop just smokes weed, you know, nonstop.
Yeah, no, that's too much.
Yeah, and
that could hurt you.
We thought we were going to do a bit with him, and then about halfway into doing the bit, me and Jimmy just looked at each other and went, well, let's just get stoned and see where this thing goes.
Yeah.
And we just got baked with him. But here's what I want to say about weed. I have no problem with weed, and I have no problem with anything that adults want to do.
Right. Adults.
But let's not kid ourselves. If you start, if you don't put down the bong from 14 to 18, you are going to be...
Absolutely.
...in a certain state of regression.
Oh, I'm hardcore about what parents can do as far as stopping their kids from taking drugs, because your kids and their drug problems are what is stopping adults from enjoying drugs the way we should be able to, because we are adults in what should be a free society.
Right.
Because that is the reason why my friend is in jail, and lots of people are in jail, because this country uses its citizens as cannon fodder in the war on drugs, and it says anything, anything is okay.
He's talking about Todd.
Yeah. Oh, right, Todd McFarlane.
McCormick.
I mean.
This country says anything is okay if it keeps drugs away from my kids.
Right.
And I say that's not okay.
Right.
Yes.
And let me ask you something.
Your kids are important, but so is fairness and freedom.
Let me ask you something, because it's something I've always been PO'd about with the whole drug thing too, Bill, and I'd be interested in hearing your input on it. I had a friend recently who, the neighbor, he lives in an apartment. He got in an argument with one of his neighbors. Nothing violent or anything. He's a nice guy. Just got in an argument with him. Don is his name. I don't want to give him too much trouble, but he does warm up on the Man Show. Is this maybe screwed now? He's a sweetheart of a guy. Anyway, the deal is a big guy, but he's a nice guy. He got in an argument with his neighbor, and he was sitting back in his apartment. The neighbors called the cops. The cops showed up because the neighbors called, and they walked into his apartment. They found a pot plant, and they busted the guy. They hauled him in. Now the guy's going through rehab. He's got a parole officer. He's getting his urine tested. And I'm thinking to myself, where are the gun nuts on this one? You know those gun nuts who talk about life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and if I want to own a gun and I want to be responsible with it and I want to use it to protect my property, I have the God-given right. Why don't I hear these bumpkins perking up when some cops walk into a guy's apartment, pull up some plants that he's grown, for Christ's sake, and now the guy's going through rehab. He doesn't even have a problem.
Exactly.
Where are the gun nuts on this one? Why don't they pipe up? Where are those Republicans on this one?
You're absolutely right. And also, the argument that people make for guns would work perfectly and should work for drugs, because the argument with guns is, look, we can never eliminate all of them.
Right.
Right. So let's just regulate it in a way that will make them safe. Well, why doesn't that work for drugs?
And as a responsible tax-paying member of society, if I want to do something like own a gun or bong and do it responsibly and not endanger anyone, I shouldn't have anything to fear from the government. And I want to know why. Now, that's a real right-wing Republican gun-toting thing. And those are the first guys who want, they want helicopters to land on your house.
Right.
You've got a pot plant in your backyard. Hey, these people should be on our side.
I had a big problem with Robert Downey's bust, you know?
Mm.
I mean, what are the cops doing in Palm Springs?
Somebody
dropped a dime on him.
Well, somebody really probably had to coerce him to go ahead and do that, I bet you.
Coerce them?
I mean, push them. I mean, really.
Didn't sound like it to me.
I would bet that they have other things. Maybe in Palm Springs they don't, but they would have to be like, hey, we're trying to help this guy. We want to take him back in. Please help us. He's a famous guy. You know, that kind of thing.
If he's, you know, he's in a hotel room doing drugs. Well, that's what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
I don't see how that is a threat to anybody else. I don't see how that is what this country was supposed to be.
No, and listen.
The knock on the door. I mean, wasn't that the idea of Magna Carta? That, you know, that we adopted that to this country? That the king's men can't come into your house. A man's home is his castle. That's what that meant. And if his castle is a hotel in Palm Springs, I mean, they're just...
I couldn't agree more, and I wish someone would tell the cops, we want you to do what we tell you to do. That's what you do, not what you feel like doing.
Yeah, but it's not there.
Not the guy on the beat, but I mean the government.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. Stop the things that are in danger to us and leave the guys who are endangering themselves alone. Because I don't care if she wants to blow his brains out.
Think of all the time that is taken in the criminal justice system for this guy with the pot plant in his living room. He's got a parole officer, you said. He's going to rehab. All this wasted man hours.
Yeah,
the wasted lives. I mentioned my friend. He's in jail. I mean, this is a great kid. And he's wasting years in jail for no reason, no good reason.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. Bill Maher for president, everybody.
No.
We'll be back after this.
Love Line will be right back. So get your problems ready. Ready. Ready.
We'll be right back.
Okay, great.
On 100.5 The Zone.
Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Bill Maher is our guest tonight. He's you can find him in a smallish part in Tomcats coming up this Friday.
I'm the bad guy.
The bad guy is the office creep.
This movie.
He parlayed that office creep gig into a real career.
There would be no suspense in this movie without me. I'm the bad guy. He's scared because I'm going to get him. He better pay me back.
That's right. Do you yell at him and call him by his last name?
Oh, I scare the hell out of him. I'm a big Vegas mobster guy. He owes me money, and he better something before then. Then the girls come in, and ooh.
Unless you can get me Shannon Elizabeth's panties in 48 hours, you are so that's
in a world where Shannon Elizabeth. I forget, but I know it's funny, and I'm the bad guy.
I miss movies where people had a very limited amount of time to do something. Yeah. Like Smoking the Bandit, you know, I got a semi-load full of Coors and I got to get to Arkansas in 32 hours. They don't seem to have the time limit movies so much anymore. Yeah. If they do, it's a bomb that's going to go off or something. Yeah. But it used to just be good bets. Get me her panties, run the Coors. I miss those days.
70s conventions.
Yeah, 70s conventions.
Well, everything with the 70s is coming back. We got an energy crisis. We got a dumb president.
All the retro, you know, Coke movies and stuff are coming back. Uh-oh, Drew. This is your worst nightmare.
What?
70's coming back. Shane?
What up?
You're 18. What's up?
Nothing much. I have a question for Bill.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You're like my favorite person in the world. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I watch your show as much as I possibly can and try and tell everybody to watch as much as they can, too.
Because
I think it teaches everybody a lot of stuff.
Good.
And
good.
I kind of also want to tell you that I don't know what you're doing after you leave that show, but I kind of want to take over, if that's
well,
right.
Done and
that's,
done.
That's a good ambition.
Oh, yeah. It's, one of my many.
Yeah. I'm flattered by that. No, that's...
Well, no, what kind of tips do you got, though?
You mean you really want to get into broadcasting?
Yeah. And,
Starting radio.
Yeah. Radio actually is a good place to start. I mean,
for your show, I would think it is.
I'm so removed from the way I'd started over 20 years ago as a comedian working at the Comedy Barrel in Cleveland and the hoo-has.
It's kind of interesting. Look at the three of us and the different paths. Nobody studied broadcasting.
Right.
Nobody studied communications.
You're right.
Everybody studied a discipline and found their way into media as a way of practicing or applying that discipline.
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to give advice based on the past because one thing about show business careers is that they are all unique.
Yeah.
It's all a snowflake in this business. I never heard two that actually went off the same way. So whatever I would tell you probably wouldn't apply to you if it applied to me.
But less plotting and more doing, Shane,
right.
I think would be the answer.
Is there any common quality you see amongst people?
Well, I think just a strong desire. You know, it's like
hard
any
work.
Like any business that's highly competitive, the ones who are not really, really, really after it are going to lose out because there are always going to be those people. I mean, Julia Roberts is a terrific actress, but there's lots of terrific actresses. Why is she where she is? Because she's got tenacity. You know, she wanted it a lot.
You know,
lots of people can sing like Diana Ross, but she wanted it more. And, you know, I think that's a lot of it. Your sanity also is your edge in this business because there's so many crazy people.
Oh, you mean, having sanity.
Yeah.
Being nutty helps, too, sometimes.
It just seems to.
Well, you got to be an amazing talent to, you know, carry the burden of sanity and some more.
Speaking of that, Andy Dick coming up next week. Everybody.
Seriously?
Yes.
Speaking of carrying the burden of insanity.
Yes, a man who carries
at this point.
Man who carries the burden of insanity very well. Michelle?
Yeah. You're right.
Yes.
Year 16, what's up?
Yeah, hi. I'm sexually active, and I just recently discovered I have a couple dark spots, like really small ones, right inside my labia, and I was scared. Like, I don't know if they were there before.
Dark, like just some pigment?
Huh?
Like pigment?
Yeah, but they're darker.
Like, have you ever looked inside a dog's mouth? See how sometimes they're pink and black and stuff?
My dog has that.
Is it that kind of pigment?
Yeah. And
hold on a second. Is it, you know, now you call it a labia. And labia. Then there's a labia, and I've heard people say labia.
Labia.
And then there's
just then your grandma's
clitoris, and my grandmother yelled at me because we said clitoris, and she said it was clitoris. And
let's call the whole thing off.
The point is why it seems there's a lot of mispronunciations centered around the vagina. Are people uncomfortable with that?
Yeah, you want to correct. In the real world, you wouldn't correct her. You just let that word go.
This poor girl is waiting for
me. Oh,
sorry. We got a minute to tell her. I don't think it's anything, Michelle. Are you dark-skinned?
No. Not really. I'm Italian. Like, I'm kind of not really dark-skinned, but like olive-skinned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people with darker pigments, sometimes if there's any irritation, the pigment will become darker or lighter. It sort of varies.
Well, I've never noticed it
before. But you said you are sexually active?
Yeah.
There are not sexually transmitted diseases that cause pigment in the labia, the labia. And you should be getting pelvic exams regularly anyway if you're sexually active, right?
Okay.
So it's time to get that, just to get things looked at, to put your mind at ease, and then do the proper screening, because the real issue is your risk for cervical cancer and pregnancy, and that can be taken care of under supervision of a healthcare provider, okay?
I'm a layman, Drew, but might it fall off?
The dark spot or the labia?
The entire thing.
The entire vagina just drop out?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, that happens frequently. It's sort of like an engine falling out or something.
Yeah.
I remember once on tour, Barry Manilow came down with vaginitis, and it was just awful.
That being said,
Bill Maher is our guest. And Bill, were you just going to stay for the first hour?
I have to get home, Adam. I have my own show to prepare for tomorrow.
Right. That's right. After 18 years, he has no idea what to expect tomorrow. All right. Well,
I thank you. And I thank you for this Man Show T-shirt.
And I want to thank you. And I think I'm going to see you on your show in the next week or so.
I know we were trying to get you for the Teen Week, because there's no one teens look. And you, too, I saw on the board today. That's Dr. Right. Drew, it was... you guys, you know, you're family with us there at PI. So,
well, thank you, and we'll see you as soon as we can and work it out. Bill Maher, everybody,
Tom
Katz, and we'll see you soon, Bill.
Okay.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Loveline will be right back.
Loveline will be right back
on 100.5 The Zone.
Zone.
Line. I'm Adam. That is Drew over there. I want to thank Bill Maher for coming in here and hanging with us for the first hour. Tom Katz is the movie, and of course, PI, Politically Incorrect, Monday through Friday on ABC at 12:05, by the way, not at 12.
You know, he said that we were up there because they just liked us on the show, but they did do us the, I don't know, the good service of, they have actually had us on their billboard in Times Square.
Oh, I
you,
had
me
no
and
idea.
Jimmy, which is bizarre.
Doing what?
They had, you know how where that NASDAQ sign is? That huge NASDAQ sign. In the middle of it, there's a screen.
Yeah.
One of those giant screens. And they have advertisements every once in a while for ABC. And they have, like, Duke Drew Care show. And they have PI. And they have Bill standing there talking. And then they show clips of the show. We were, you and me and Jimmy, and those were the clips.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. It was bizarre. I'm standing in Times Square going, what the? It's bizarre.
True. He didn't say the F word.
No, I didn't.
He said, what the heck? That's nice. You know, one misconception I always had about, B/C celebrity, I figured if that kind of stuff happened, that people would tell me, as it turns out.
No.
I never hear from anybody.
No.
Either they don't care, they don't see it, or they don't care to tell me, or all the above. Jake?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. You know, you guys always make the connection between a gay son and his controlling mother.
Adam does that.
Yes, and so does Drew.
Adam, what would you say is behind the mother? Like, why is she so unhealthily controlling as to turn her own son gay, as you would say?
why she's so domineering.
That's a great question.
I don't know what turns women domineering that way.
Do you think it's intrusiveness or domineering? Masculinity?
I would say both.
So it's intrusiveness, controlling.
Yeah, it is basically a lot of the qualities that go along with Jewish mothers.
Okay.
Although they don't seem to turn their sons gay, although they probably want to go gay. They're just so freaked out by their mom and by Nana and Papa who passed away, and what would they think if they knew?
So that would be sort of intrusive, angry, controlling. But do you think it's a fear of the masculine? Need to control that or suppress that, or
that got those mothers where they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, let's think of the opposite.
Let's think of the women that we talked to that were sexually abused. You would think they would be sort of angry and hostile about men.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to fit that one.
She was married to a pretty the guy never spoke. My grandfather almost never spoke.
Right, and so she sort of wore the pants in the family. Mm-hmm. This is your mother.
No, it's my stepfather's parents.
I see. Your stepfather's gay?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, why are you sifting through that wreckage? You know what I mean?
Why did he become your stepfather if he's gay?
Yeah.
No, well, we didn't find out till like a year or two ago.
He didn't know? He wasn't really in touch with it?
I really don't know.
Well, and let me clarify this, too. Only a certain percentage of society is turned gay. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount that comes out of the womb gay.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know that.
You know what I'm saying? So who the hell knows exactly? But it's interesting. The interesting question is what makes a woman domineering that way? And I think part of it is an intelligence. I mean, higher IQ women seem to be a more... authoritative and maybe a little more demanding and maybe a little more like some high IQ men. Less is acceptable.
I would still think.
You know what I mean?
I still think it was pretty like high anxiety or deprived childhoods, I would think.
That did it.
Yeah.
All right. Cody.
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
About 2 days ago. Yeah, it was 2 days ago. I was at my friend's house and we started drinking a little bit and having fun. And it was me, my girlfriend, and my friend, and we started having a threesome, and me and my friend, which is another guy, hooked up during the threesome, and I don't know if I just, like thought it felt good, or if I like guys, or what.
Were you completely drunk?
No, not totally.
Not totally
drunk.
I mean,
I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever thought about him that way?
No.
Have you ever had any previous experiences with a male?
No.
You never thought about guys?
No, I've had, like, weird dreams and stuff, you know.
What's going on at 14? You're already sort of way down the road of life.
I don't know. You guys might want to gamble on me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I would figure. Was it with a male?
What with a male?
That you were sort of sexually handled or whatever happened to you?
No.
What happened?
I don't really know. I just, my parents got divorced when I was really young, and... I don't know. I don't exactly remember.
So you don't remember your childhood?
No, not really.
What was the predominant theme? A bunch of step, you know, boyfriends coming through?
Yeah.
A lot of drug and alcohol use?
Not drugs, just alcohol.
Okay.
All right, so you want to know now what this means?
It doesn't mean anything.
I mean, is it just good times? Or?
No.
not for your ass, it's not, no. Bad times.
This is all about alcoholism to me at this point.
No.
Yes. No, not that he was so loaded he didn't know what was going on, but this is surviving alcoholic family systems. This is being an alcoholic yourself. This is really, there's a lot going on here, a ton of stuff.
Yeah, but Drew, remember the good old days when you'd get loaded and something would happen?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the first 100 times I got drunk, something happened. There was some sex, there was a fight, there was a car chase.
Well, hey, Drew.
Something.
Yeah.
I also have another question. I was wondering, this might be stupid, but I was wondering if you can get a girl pregnant without actually penetrating her.
Yeah, but it's obviously fairly unlikely. Maybe you have something on your hands or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that can happen.
Was it, whose semen, his or yours?
Mine.
Good times.
When did this happen? 2 days ago?
Yeah.
So she still can take the morning after pill until tomorrow.
What'd you have? You had a handful of semen and then you put it in her?
No, I was just kind of banging her after.
Make some medicine, go down.
A handful of semen.
How do I get the pill?
Planned Parenthood? Is there a Planned Parenthood locally near you?
He's in L.A.
Oh, yeah. Call Planned Parenthood.
Hey, Cody.
Yeah.
Don't examine your encounter with the guy so much right now. Just examine your life overall.
Right. That's the big issue, is that emotionally there's a ton going on. You're out of control. You're starting to use drugs and alcohol. You're sexually sort of way over your head at 14. You don't know you fully understand your identity even yet. You're not... brain isn't developed enough even to handle these acts you're engaging in.
Right.
It's not there yet. And you don't know what the hell you're doing. You need some help. I suspect just some sort of professional intervention would be useful. If you had motivated, go to Alateen, AA, that sort of thing would help too.
Elizabeth?
Hi.
Hey, you're 19. What's up?
Oh, this is such an honor to talk to you and Dr. Drew. I really respect your opinion.
Thank you.
When I was 15, I was sexually assaulted and didn't tell anybody for almost 2 years. And during that time, I had been using drugs, and one of them, the drugs I was using was LSD. And I know how dangerous it is now, and I'm wondering, I have a lot of concentration problems and blocking out stimulants like around me as far as noise, and I'm wondering if that caused it, if taking LSD caused it.
What other drugs were you doing? What other drugs did you do during those 2 years?
I smoked pot and a lot. It was very frequently that I did, but I am 19 now, and I drank occasionally.
So it was daily pot and how much acid?
I think in that 2 year period, I took maybe 8 hits of acid.
Were they any time sort of big doses?
Yes, yeah. I took 4 at one time.
Yeah, that's kind of you hurt yourself with those big doses.
Yeah, what's everybody? Help me explain. I mean, help explain it to me. You do a tab of acid, you're freaked out for the day. What's 4 going to do you?
Right, I don't, when I took it the first time, it didn't do anything. Actually, for 2 times I took it, and then when I did it, it made me really happy, and it was just, you know, I thought, okay, so the more I take, it's going to be even better, and it wasn't, because I was in, you know, a really bad place. I wasn't happy.
Well, yeah, and you have a sort of, what I'd like to call the effed up ceiling. You can only go... You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. Let's just talk about booze for a second. You can have yourself 6 or 8 beers and be jacked up, and you can drink another 6 or 8 beers, but you're not going to be more effed up. You're just going to be vomiting and pass out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it took me many years to figure that math out, by the way, Drew.
Nice. Very nice.
But, you know, to all you people that are completely loaded and still doing shots or, you know, high as a kite on acid and doing another tab or flying on X and doing another pill, why bother? You're just throwing money out the window at that point. And what happened with the sexual assault?
All right. When I've listened to your show, and I think that I came from very controlling parents, and that I wasn't able to put myself in high enough regard to stay, you know, to set my own boundaries.
Huh.
To very much say,
Have you had some treatment since then?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not. If listening to our show gave you all that, I'm very impressed.
Yeah, no way.
I did group counseling, and I found that that I could relate to other people, and that it wasn't just me.
Right, okay. Of course.
All right, so.
I don't know what to do now, though. Like, I have all these concentration problems, and I want to go to school.
Memory difficulty, concentration problems, mood instability, that would all be common from this. You might want to see a psychiatrist who's used to dealing with drugs and alcohol, because there actually are medication that will help with this. Whatever happens, do not let them put you on stimulants.
There you
Ritalin,
go.
Ritalin, that kind of thing.
Craig?
Hi.
You're 18?
First I want to say, Adam and Drew, you're great. I really appreciate you taking my call, and I listen to your show every day, and it's the highlight of my day, and I just really think it's great.
Thanks.
Question is this. I am a virgin, and I had heard that Kegel exercises and all these other sort of fads or whatever can help you prolong ejaculation. And I'm going to be going off to college next year, and hopefully within those 4 years, I'm going to lose my virginity. Yeah, but
well, he wants to be ready.
Yeah.
That ejaculation comes
through. Yeah, he's treating sex like it's the Olympics, you know. Like every 4 years, it comes around, and it all boils down to that one luge ride that's only a half mile long, and it's make or break.
I just know there's usually problems out of the gate, and that's kind of be embarrassing, because I have had like no sexual experience. So
I see.
I just want every advantage.
So you want to put it off. Well, you've been putting it off for 18 years already.
Yeah, Kegels.
It's not that I haven't had a chance. Before.
No, I know. Every virgin guy says that.
Kegels for some people.
Like that's what's, by the way, like that's supposed to earn you some respect. Yeah, I could have got laid when I was 16, but I didn't.
No. It's to make a long story short, this girl in eighth grade sounded like one of your usual callers.
All right.
Stuff and,
we believe you. Now, listen, here's my problem with the Kegel
don't
exercises.
Don't overanalyze, you're going to tell me, right?
I am saying that sex should be the thing that people enjoy, one of the things people enjoy about sex is this sort of free aspect of it, that they're not thinking about anything else, that their worries and all those inhibitions and everything, they're just gone. They're just in the moment. It's a visceral thing. You know what I mean? It's a thing that attracts people to drugs, quite honestly. Yeah. And if you're worried about, you know, checking the clock and anus palpitations and timing and things and, you know, your training, I just think there's going to be too much going into it.
Your partner's,
I agree.
Your partner's not going to have fun and you're going to have difficulty.
Yeah, you're a normal, healthy guy. Find someone you dig and learn together.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because I know you guys obviously have had sex by now, but if looking back, is there anything... any advice you could offer?
No, you know, I don't think there is, because there's a certain, I mean, I can equate it to boxing, which is, I remember getting in the ring for the first time, and there's really no amount of stuff you can do in the gym that prepares you for being in the ring.
Right.
It can help.
Right.
But there's nothing like being in the ring for
time in the ring. Yeah.
It's like airplane pilots.
No, it's being a physician too. We do
everything.
All kinds of stuff, but then you go out there and you do it. First, you do it without a supervision, then you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of skipping rope and hitting a heavy bag, and a certain amount of looking at anatomy books and taking tests and whatever analogy you want to use. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you got to log hours. Mm-hmm. In the wheelbarrow position, yeah,
right.
Is what I'm saying.
That's, I figured.
And sex is that. And here's what you got to do with sex. You want to be good at it, you got to get to it. Find yourself, a plane to fly or a patient to operate on or a sparring partner to beat on, and just get busy and start logging those hours. You can't work it all out in advance. Sure, it's good to be in reasonable shape and all that kind of stuff so you don't crap on yourself. But other than that.
Speaking of crapping on yourself. Take this call.
Oh, really? Rob?
Rob?
Caller who goes by the name of Rob, who's 17.
Hello?
Oh, okay. Maybe it's not Rob. What's going on?
Oh, hi. I just want to say I like your show. I listen to it a lot.
What's your name?
Jennifer.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
What's up, Jennifer?
Okay, well, I've been going out with a guy for on and off for 4 months, and I met him over a phone chat service. So I just recently actually met him face-to-face.
Uh-huh.
And I have a lot of other friends that go to the same school as him, but he lives about 40 miles away from me, so I don't get to see him often. And they're all telling me that he's been cheating on me. And I guess the girl he's been cheating on me with a couple times left a hickey. And I just
genius. Saw
him this last weekend, and I confronted him on it. And one of his best friends, and also my friend, who's a girl, was his... He told me that she bit him, and
So what's your question?
Well, I'm trying. He's like plays head games, and he won't let me break up with him. He kind of like.
What do you mean? Won't let you break up?
He when I got back together with him, he made me promise to not break up with him.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Come on, he's
an
idiot. You're how old?
I
should have
tried that.
I'm 14, almost 15.
How old is he?
He's 16.
No, he's an idiot.
And I really like him a lot.
Oh, no, don't.
Supposedly,
Jennifer.
he
sure,
cares
what's
about me.
Not to like? He sounds like a dynamite individual.
Yeah, why aren't you worth being treated more appropriately?
And he really, he's brought me jewelry, and I've only known him physically for a week, and he's given me, like.
What do you mean physically?
Diamond necklaces, and he's.
How does a 16-year-old afford diamond necklaces?
I don't know.
Well, he's either pimping or selling drugs.
Yeah.
And he has a child from a previous...
No.
He's 16.
Relationship. What are you, the Hatfields and the McCoys? What's going on with you, bumpkin?
Well,
What's wrong? You're 14, baby. He's giving you costume jewelry and wanting you to sign documents that basically having you agree to never break up with him.
It sounds like he's trying to make you a prostitute.
He lives 40 miles away.
No, it really sounds like he's going to try to be her pimp or something.
But the
doesn't it sound like that?
Yeah, it kind of does.
It really does. You got to get away from this. Jennifer, you got to get away from this.
Hey, Jennifer.
Yeah?
You've got to get away. Oh, did you
whether,
say that?
Whether or not it's turning her into a prostitute or not, this is bad.
That's the strangest thing is,
well, anytime you accept jewelry, ladies, you're a prostitute. You're keep that in mind. Okay. Thanks.
But also, he recently just saw his ex-girlfriend
right.
with the child today, and... Uh-huh.
They slept together.
He asked him the question, who do you love more, your current girlfriend or your right. son? And he chose me. And when I talked yeah. to him earlier
hey,
on the phone...
What did you see, a videotape of yeah, the confrontation?
This guy is
or
BSing you.
Called me. She called me and she was crying and she's oh like, I hope God. You feel better
okay.
because my child's never going to see his son, his father again
yeah.
because he loves you.
Yeah, remember those words because you'll be making that phone call one day soon, too, to his next victim
on
while you're home
yeah.
with your kid.
Okay.
Listen, screwball, I don't know what's going on with you. You're meeting guys over the chat lines. You're hooking up with dudes that are 40 miles out of town that go to another school. This guy's cheating on you. He's got hickeys. He's got a kid.
He's nuts.
He's 16. This guy's going to be in jail in another 6 months.
Actually, he's already going to be in juvenile hall for all of summer.
For what?
He won't tell me.
Oh, for God's sakes, Jennifer, please.
Baby,
please,
what,
just stop.
What do you do? What, do you hate your dad
has
that
somebody
much?
Been beating you up at home
What's
or
up?
Something?
No, I have an alcoholic father.
Okay,
there
well,
you go.
Go to Alateen. Go to Alateen. This is not the way to solve the problem of the pain you're feeling from your home front.
Okay.
This is going to send you down a path of total destruction. You remember these words. I guarantee it.
And let me reiterate that by saying this. Just because it feels like it's what you should do does not mean it's the right thing to do. It means your feelings are screwed up. Do you understand that concept?
Mm-hmm.
Your alcoholic dad screwed up your feelings. And now you feel like you should be with somebody that if you were normal and your dad wasn't an alcoholic and you hadn't suffered the abuse that you suffered, you would not feel that way. You'd be repulsed by this guy. You couldn't get to the other side of the street fast enough when he came walking down it.
There you go.
So, your feelings aren't normal. It's almost like when you're freaking out on acid and you think you think your dog's talking to you. It doesn't mean your dog's talking to you. It means you're high.
Right. It's the same thing.
All right. Alateen. Do you hear me?
Okay.
All right, stay away from this joker.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
I'd like to really just clean up the streets by putting bullets in guys like that. I really do. They're just out populating and tying up the court system, really, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's somebody's daughter, somebody's son, and all that, but listen, whose son?
Yeah.
And listen, those people don't deserve anything. You want to take a break?
Just read it.
This is Rob.
Yeah.
This is girlfriend has multiple orgasm and then poops. After a while. Well, we'll get to the bottom of her bottom.
I beg your pardon.
After this.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hello there, Love Line fans. This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stick around for more right here on 100.5 The Zone.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. You're listening to 100.5
The Zone. There you go. Rodney Dangerfield, one of the nicest guys in showbiz. Ask anybody. He is a jewel, that guy. Oh, yes. Anyone who's ever met him will tell you that. Hey, it's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. Over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we were going to talk to Rob, who's 17.
Hey. Dr. Drew, I don't think you guys' shows are cool. I watch The Man Show all the time, and this is my first time calling.
Thank you.
Me and my girlfriend are really sexual. You know, we do a lot of stuff, and like she after orgasm, she has like orgasms back to back, and like mm-hmm. after orgasm, she just poops. She says she didn't know what happened. She couldn't control it. I want to know, is that normal?
So just one time this happened?
Three times
this has happened.
Ooh.
Well, I mean,
how old is she?
She's 16.
Oh. Yeah, it's bad times when you've lost control of the Bombay door at that age. Do you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah,
because let me tell you,
later.
You're cramping during orgasm at 16. You sneeze and something's flying out at 30.
Yeah.
And at 40, the wind blows and
free
you got
flow.
Cramp coming out
it's
of you.
Free flow.
By 50,
the mudslide.
By 50, you're just you're leaving a trail out to the car in the morning. And by 80, you're actually bathing in a huge tank of your own fecal matter. You're actually you've carved yourself a fecal igloo. Do you understand, Drew?
I want to know
yes.
Anything wrong with her. Is it?
No.
And she's dating somebody who smokes a little pot.
Rob, you smoked your fair share of the weed, do you?
She doesn't smoke. I don't smoke either.
No, Rob.
Rob, you got to smoke some weed, bro.
I don't smoke at all.
You're not cool?
Huh? I'm on the wrestling team, track team.
All right. Okay. All right, buddy. We're all sold. Right. So, let me ask you this question. Yeah. Has she had some kind of diarrhea or something? She had some stomach flu or illness, that would make it easier.
These guys are just so active that she's...
Well, I'm just saying we're all capable of this if under the right conditions. We got hold of, bologna sandwich it turned, and anyone's capable of squeezing a little something out.
I doubt it, because it happened 3 times, and it was like nothing was wrong with her stomach. She was down with it, and it was like, it was like 6 times. 6 times she had an orgasm.
And her 6th orgasm.
Yes, we were up there for a while, and all of a sudden, I was like patting, back there, grabbing it, and all of a sudden, it was like all over my hands, and I went, it couldn't be this much. It couldn't be this wet. And then all of a sudden, I looked at my hands, and there it all was.
But there it was in a kind of a liquidy form, right?
Yeah. But once it was thick, and it didn't come out all the way.
Uh-huh. It's just just crowning a little bit, as the doctors say. Yeah, bad times.
She doesn't feel it at all. She said she don't know what happened.
All right.
You got to go a little easier on her.
Yeah, stop at 5.5.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, some women, and God bless them, I've only met a few in my life. When they have an orgasm, I don't care if we're in the back of the goddamn Popemobile, I'm having an orgasm.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you hold a bullhorn in my face and my dead grandparents are sitting in the room, I'm going off. And they can just lose control and just go off.
Yeah.
And when you don't care, you don't care. I mean, it's almost like when people have a seizure.
Yeah.
That happens oftentimes, right?
That's true.
And this is, by the time you're getting to the 6th orgasm, you're in seizure territory.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you something, Rob. Life is going to all be downhill after this chick. He's going to meet another chick, and he's not going to be able to give him an orgasm, and he's going to go nuts. Right?
Right.
He's going to get the big vibrator out. He's going to be going insane. Eventually, she'll start faking because she's tired of being, worked on like a pitcher's mound. But, I mean, at least that's what I hope happens for him. I really do. If there's any justice at all. All right. So she's okay? Should she get worked up
No,
there?
No, she's fine.
All right. Rachel?
Yeah?
You're 23. What's up?
Okay. My boyfriend, actually my fiance, he's had this view of, just recently he started telling me that I can have sex with as many women as I want, anytime I want, without telling him.
Good times.
Yeah. But it's just kind of peculiar how, he tells me, you don't even have to tell me about it.
How long have you been engaged?
About 2.5 years now.
Why such a long engagement?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, I figure, we're kind of low income, so, it's kind of hard for us to have the kind of wedding that I would like to have.
Right. And you and he can invite all your bi friends.
Right.
Is he bi, too?
No, No, not at all. He's totally homophobic.
Is he seeing women?
Huh?
Is he seeing other women?
I don't know.
You don't know. What's up with this relationship?
And by the way she answered that makes me a little nervous. And whenever a guy gives a woman carte blanche to go out and screw around, he's kind of saying I may be up to something.
Yeah,
too.
He's either checking out or he's trying to make himself sort of make it okay that he'd do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I've had a lot of my friends tell me, too.
Yep. Well, why did they tell you that?
Well, because he's also said a lot of other things, too, that kind of...
Like, give me an example.
Well, not really said, but just kind of acted out certain things. Like, he'll act really funny around this specific friend of ours and his girlfriend. He acts kind of standoffish in front of her, and then when I walk away or something, they're all chit-chatting together, and then when I come back, it's just like...
You can feel the tension.
Yeah.
Mm. As though he was in a threesome with them?
You know, see, that's the thing. I don't really... I don't know. I mean,
Rachel, yeah, you don't know a lot for someone who's been engaged for 2.5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Why
I know.
Is that?
I'm picturing, by the way, on this guy, I'm picturing like a 2 or 3 stage mullet. I'm really picturing like a mullet times
kinda
mullet.
Half,
yeah.
Yeah,
like almost maybe even shave clean on the side with the ponytail. Right, yeah. What kind of hairdo is
he? He was one of those
sporting?
Kids, like at age 6, had a mullet. You seen those?
Well, yeah. He's got a crew cut.
Crew cut.
Yeah.
Huh. No, I never had the mullet going?
No, huh? No, actually, no. All the pictures I've seen of him when he was younger, he never really had that.
No ponytail?
Mm-mm. Long hair, kind of. Mm-hmm. Almost shoulder length.
Mm-hmm. Shoulder length? Short short in the front, though?
All one length, actually.
I see.
And now he's a crew cut. That's interesting.
Let's see. Does he work construction?
No, he's a public service.
What's that mean?
Law enforcement.
Ooh, law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Why is he low income?
Yeah, why don't you guys have any money?
We only get... He gets paid like between 24 and 26.
Yeah, it seems like cops would make a little bit more than that.
That's a real low manpower department.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just examine your situation. He's basically telling you you can go out and do whatever with whoever, as long as it's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even want to know about it.
Well, he wants to know about it. I don't have to tell him right away.
I see. A little incubation period for your lesbian act. Say a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Sure. Makes sense. And you're a little suspicious about him and what he's been up to
mm-hmm.
with other folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would bet, just checking my gut here, that something's up with him and other folks.
Or he's checking out of this relationship in some way.
Do you guys...
Backing down.
All right,
yeah.
Drew, get ready. You steadied over there?
Yeah.
Do you guys have a kid?
No.
Oh. Dear Lord.
Not
thank you, Lord.
You don't have a kid with anybody else?
No, huh?
Okay.
I'm child-free.
Okay. Are you sterile?
I have no idea.
Are you using protection?
No, huh?
See, I didn't get you... See, it's so funny because I end up doing the math. Like, I'm like, they got to have a kid. And that's like, no, I don't have a kid. And I'm like, huh, that seems weird.
How'd that happen?
And then I think, and then Drew pops up and I agree. He's like, well, do you have a kid from another relationship? And I go, oh, that must be it. That's what I'm talking about. And then it's like, no. And I'm like, this is somebody who's responsible enough to get herself on the birth control or use some form of contraception. And then I think, Then it's like, okay, I guess they must be. Maybe I read them wrong. And then it's like, no, we don't use anything. Then I thought, yeah. My instinct was right. It's just the kid hasn't come yet.
Right.
Rachel,
mm-hmm.
do not have a kid with this guy.
Okay.
This guy's chaotic. Mm-hmm. You guys don't make any money.
Yeah.
And you're not using birth control.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a problem here because there's going to be a kid... And you're going to get a kid, and then you're going to break up in 8 months, and you're going to be left with this kid and no income.
Yeah.
And then I got to pay for it, you see?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you want to salvage this thing, you better get this guy talking.
I don't know how to do that.
Well, you better tell him if we're going to get married, we're going to have to get some counseling, go to the church, do whatever it is.
Oh.
But we got to start getting to the bottom of you telling me to just go out and do whatever I want with women.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you saying that? What does that mean?
Why did you moan so much when Adam said that?
Because I've so mentioned numerous times that we need to go to counseling. And
okay, well.
Since he's a major breadwinner, he's the one with the benefits.
What about through your church?
I don't go to church.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, she's in the Santeria. Are you
Find
kidding
a church,
me?
Yeah.
And the church I do have here in town, I have no faith in them.
Okay, but here's where you're way ahead of the game, Rachel. And listen to me, all you screwballs. You don't have 3 kids.
Yeah.
If this thing goes south, you walk away, you're 23, you get a job, you grab a roommate, you live your life for a couple of years, you go back to junior college, and you make something of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I would really worry about this guy, and I think Rachel worries about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's probably even more here that we don't know about. Yeah. Okay. Do not marry him, and please don't have any kids until you guys get to the bottom of this. Katie?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Not much. I was actually calling because I seem to have a problem. I started dating this guy, and it was really embarrassing because we were drinking one night, and I don't normally drink because I've had an alcohol problem in the past, and I ended up wetting the bed. I totally understand that frightened him away, but this happened with an ex-boyfriend of mine, too. Like, it was really horrible. He peed on me, but we stayed together for 9 months.
He peed on you?
Well, it's sleeping, like, from alcohol.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't really classify that as being peed on.
Well,
I mean,
alcoholics will get out of the bed, stand over you, and pee on you.
I love that.
They will do that.
Well, but he didn't do that.
No, not at all.
No, but listen,
he
Katie,
wet the bed.
You wet the bed.
He
peed on you. Do you notice the phraseology there?
Okay, no, I understand. But what I'm saying is there anything that I can do? Because I feel as though I ruined a good friendship and I scared away this guy.
Friendship? You mean relationship?
Well, both.
Okay. Urination did not scare him away.
He was on his way out anyway.
If he was into you...
No, the one was a relationship from 9 months ago. We ended up breaking ties and everything when he moved. And then...
What does that have to do with the pee?
Well, this new boyfriend... I was dating this guy for about 3 weeks and then...
You weed on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he left not because you peed. He left because he was leaving anyway.
Okay. No, I'm just saying that I've done this more than once. And
We're talking about the current guy.
Uh-huh.
Will you stop going back and confusing us and confusing yourself and hearing anything but the truth? The reason the most recent guy
left
is because he wasn't into you. Not because you peed while you were sleeping with him.
Huh?
Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
You turn your radio off, okay?
Okay. Is there anything that I can do?
To stop the peeing?
Yes.
Yes, you can get your alcoholism treated and not drink. If you don't drink, you don't use alcohol, you won't pee. You're listening to the radio.
All right.
You can't have this conversation.
Katie, we're hanging up on you now, okay?
Okay.
Good luck with your life.
All
Stop
right.
drinking and don't blame the breakup on the peeing, okay? All right.
It's the alcohol.
Oh, my God. How are people, I mean, what do you do? How are you employable? What goes on? You know what I mean? How do you?
Service department. Customer service.
Customer service?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Or front desk at a hotel.
You just get a job working
with
the public.
Well, what's the name of that hotel?
Or is it Meter Maid or something?
I was in Cincinnati over the weekend and had the most awful experience at a front desk at the... I don't think of the hotel during the break.
All right.
I want to badmouth them.
Good, Drew.
Yeah.
Drew will seek his vengeance when we come back.
We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And I couldn't be happier.
Fantastic. 100.5.
The Zone. Yep. Drew! Hey, Drew, when I yell, it means a goddamn show. Drew! Please. It means the show's starting, goofball. What is it with you finishing your stories out there? I know, but the show's starting. That's why I'm yelling. Yes? No, I don't know. It shouldn't be on if it is.
Testing. There we go.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, it makes it better when you scream, though. As opposed to just doing the intro, and I'd be sitting down by the time you finish the intro.
You know my favorite Drew quality as it pertains to radio, though, is when you're talking to a guest, and you've engaged a guest, and you're chatting, and I put my headphones on, and I go, show's starting, guys. And Drew keeps talking to the guest, and the guest's like, well, screw it. Drew's talking. And you guys just sit there and talk, and then the mic comes on. Beautiful radio. Dr. Drew, everybody. 17 years in radio. Hasn't learned a goddamn thing. Alyssa?
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 Alicia?
Alicia.
Hi.
I hate all of you with your names. What's up there? You're 17.
Yeah, I've been listening to your guys' show forever. God, I just want to... This is my first time calling, actually.
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, anyways, I was just calling because, like, okay, it's just, it isn't even when I orgasm either. When I, like, have sex at any time, there's always this, this huge amount of fluid that comes out of my body, and I just, I want to know where it comes from. It's just, like, an abnormal amount. It feels like gallons of water just coming out.
Could it be urine?
No, no, it's not. I know it's not.
Well, then it comes from the bowels of hell.
There's multiple glands in that area, Skene's, Bartholin's, whatnot, that can produce a lot of fluid, and some women have sort of an ejaculation.
It's just crazy, and sometimes it's like, sometimes it's bloody, like sometimes it's blood, and I've had, I mean, I've had enough sex that it's not like skin tearing.
I understand, that comes from the uterus, and some women have that every time they have sex.
It's just weird, because it's like, it's always, and it's all over the bed.
It's fine.
Gross.
Hey, baby.
Normal?
Just added 10 minutes to the jack session tonight. You want to shoot for 15, or are you done?
Yes, it's normal.
Okay.
Completely normal.
Okay, I'm just making sure, because I've always wondered. I seriously just, like, kept telling my friends, I'm going to call and ask Dr. Drew.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there's, if you listen to this show with any regularity at all, you'll know that there's many, many a call. We field many a call about fluid coming out of women.
Yeah,
and you all think you're freaks, but it's really a one out of every, I'd say 10 or 15 women got a little something coming out of there.
Remember we had one night we actually interviewed a bunch of women that had this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And we figured that they're having super orgasms or something. No, they really weren't. They just sometimes happened.
That's the way the plumbing's hooked up. And well, look at it this way. There's certain guys who drip. Certain guys whose penis dribbles when they get erect. I mean, semen comes
or
leaking.
Or even then just dribbles a little bit at the
comes leaking out of them.
Yeah.
All right. What's wrong with those guys? Why does it happen? What do they need to do? Nothing.
Other guys.
That's the way it works. Other guys doesn't work that way. Lisa?
Yes?
What's up, Totes?
Okay, recently I was living at my aunt's house, and she has, like, a really bad mold problem, and the mold in her house made me sick, and now I have, like, toxic levels of mold.
Well, what do you mean you were sick?
Well, it started out as a really nasty sinus infection, and when we got that cleared up with the antibiotics, I was still feeling, like, a lot of sneezing and a lot of fatigue. And
so you had allergies from molds?
Yeah, that's what they decided.
Okay, so you have allergies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
allergies?
Yeah, so I'm on Claritin now.
Okay, so you have allergies. No, it's not a big deal.
And
what's the question about your allergies?
Well, I'm at high risk for cancers now because of the mold.
Who said that?
My doctor.
What kind of doctor is he?
He's a toxicologist.
High risk for cancer?
Yeah, they actually gave me a list of a bunch of different stuff, and I'm supposed to go in for yearly cancer scans.
Of what?
It's basically my whole body. I mean, like, it broke down, like, for each type of cancer, the type of scan that they did, and I'd imagine that basically, like, because there was a lot of them that they just have to do a whole body scan. And,
well, that's not a cancer screen, a body scan. What kind of doctor is this? I mean, where are you being treated? What hospital?
It's not in a hospital. You want me to tell him his name?
No. I mean, is this somebody associated with the university or something?
No. He's just a toxicologist, but I know that.
Well, what does that mean, toxicologist?
He treats different people that have.
This is a physician. Is an MD.
Yeah, he's an MD.
And I would suggest you get just another opinion about this, just to see what, it just sounds pretty wild, this whole situation. And
actually, I've been to a couple different people.
Yeah, but he's the one giving you this cancer screening thing.
Yeah.
And a total body CAT, you're talking about total body CAT scanning?
Yeah.
That's limited, that's not real screening. I mean, that'll screen your lungs, your pancreas and things, but then, you know, why are you doing that?
I mean, I haven't actually gone in for it yet. This is I'm just starting treatment. It's a yearly, it takes a whole year to detox from it.
Yeah, I suggest you go to a university and get another opinion about this. It just sounds a little bit wild. A little bit wild.
Hey, you know why I'm the world's biggest a-hole, Drew? Because whenever I see somebody who has a lot of allergies or claims to be allergic to a lot of things or has chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr virus, or even people who wear glasses. I always go pussy. None of my friends got any problems. Now, that wouldn't happen to Chris or Ray.
Your friends would run over by cars.
Yeah, they got real problems. They could be actually trying to kill them. Even that doesn't work. Yeah, it's always the same person. I that's why I'd be the world's worst doctor. I really would. I'm sure there's something legitimate here, but if one of my friends said they had a problem with mold, they'd get made fun of until they were better.
Or you'd throw poo at them.
Ooh.
Take this mold.
Robert? Robert? Caller goes by the name of Robert. He's 14 years old.
Is he sleeping? Let's hear.
Yeah.
No.
He wants to know, the question is why I have a problem with ROTC. And let's see. ROTC is officer training.
Center?
What the hell's,
camp?
Yeah, what's the R, though? I used to know what it stood for.
Register?
ROTC. Well, anyway, no, I don't have a problem with ROTC. I wish all the screwballs do that.
I was
back.
Oh.
Back now, Robert.
Yeah,
you there?
Yeah, right here.
What's up?
Nothing. Just early on the show, I heard you say about tossing the rifles and stuff. How that isn't good for the students.
Yeah. That's the drill team.
Some of the girls.
Yeah, those fake wooden rifles. It just seems like a bad plan if you're trying to keep guns out of schools to during the halftime of the football game. Have those guys up there with those. 2x4 mock-ups of the M1, throwing them over their shoulder and tossing them in the air.
Yeah, that's
it. Seems like a mixed message. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's like an exhibition team. I'm trying out for that, too.
Right, but I would think if guns were something you didn't want to bring into schools, then marching around with them at halftime just sounds like a bad plan. Put it this way. You don't want to have drugs in your schools. Would you give these guys bongs and have them go up and down the sidelines spinning the bongs over their head?
No.
And so you make the argument, and you go, I'd like to make this argument. Hey, it's a fake bong.
It's a mock-up bong.
Well, it's a real bong, but the carb doesn't work. What do you think how do you think that argument would go over at the student council meeting,
PTA.
The PTA? They're not real bongs, sir. They're fake bongs or styrofoam. They're just painted up. That's not even water. That's just blue paint suggesting the water line. And the smoke, well, that's just dried ice.
Just a mock-up.
Just a mock-up. What's the problem?
What do you call it, a color guard?
Yeah. I'm just, I don't really care if they spin around the M1-shaped 2x4s. But I'm just saying there's a certain irony in it. That's all I'm saying.
Agreed.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Loveline will be right back. Loveline will be right back. Loveline will be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And I couldn't be happier.
Fantastic. 100.5.
The Zone. Hey. Well, there you go. Loveline. Another fantabulous episode. I want to thank Bill Maher for coming in here. I like Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah.
He's, not everyone has something nice to say about Bill Maher, but the good news is he doesn't give a rat's ass, and, boy, he's got something to say.
Yeah.
And, give me a guy who's got something to say over a guy who doesn't, who has shiny teeth. That's right. All right. So I want to thank Bill Maher. Tell him we're going to go out and watch that Tomcats coming out this Friday. Having a little Temptation Island semi-reunion.
Tomorrow night. Anything?
Oh, and something Ann has been asked me to plug for since half hour before the show started, and I refuse to, is Sunday night. We want to talk about ecstasy. Yes. Yeah. And we need folks to call in who have what, Ann? Who have
had experiences with it, or
who are
basically an opinion. If you go to raves, you do ecstasy,
right? And no layman. I'm talking about someone who's been to at least 10 or 15 raves, at least, and has done a whole ass load of.
If you're gonna show people who are in the midst of all that, you're gonna have to show people who are also 10 years down the line on antidepressants and all that stuff. So we need those also. 818-567-1067 between what 10 a.m. and 2, 10 a.m. and 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call producer Ann.
Pacific time.
And these are people who can call in on the show on Sunday night as well.
Okay.
Not necessarily guests.
That'll be X night, Sunday night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla with Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Have fun getting late, Lardo.
This has been Loveline.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.